The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. Beginning today, the readings for Mass begin to change their focus. For the first 2 weeks of Lent, the focus of all of our readings has been on ourselves and the penance we need to do and the repentance we need to do and the change of heart that we need to bring ourselves to in the season of Lent. Well, beginning today, that begins to change. You're going to notice in the readings, the focus is not so much on ourselves now. The focus is going to go on to Jesus Christ and what he's done with his suffering and death, all coming to a glorious crescendo on Good Friday. And to that end, you're going to hear from your first reading a number of Old Testament stories that tell us things that prefigured the suffering and death of Jesus himself. So keep your ears perked up, and you're going to hear the story of Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph in the coat of many colors? Joseph, sold into slavery for a fistful of silver, just like Jesus himself was betrayed for a fistful of silver. You can hear the story of the three Hebrew children with the three funny names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Hebrew children thrown into a white-hot furnace. But the furnace doesn't kill them. They emerge unharmed, just like the tomb of Jesus Christ couldn't contain him. He emerged more glorious than ever before. You can hear the story of poor Susanna. Susanna, poor innocent Hebrew woman, put on trial, sent to court for a crime she didn't commit, falsely accused, just like Christ himself. And of course, just like today, you're going to hear the story of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, most Christ-like character in the entire Old Testament, suffered and suffered immensely, but he was faithful straight through it, all the way to the last. And you want to know why we hear all these stories of suffering in the Old Testament? It's because there's a paradox in our faith. There's a paradox in our faith that we need to come to grips with if we're ever going to know who God is. Everybody know what a paradox is? See, just in case anybody doesn't know what a paradox is, I'll remind you, paradox is a seeming contradiction, which is no contradiction at all. And paradoxes are all across our faith, like, for example, whoever wishes to be first among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to rank first must make himself the last of all. Or, for example, whoever wishes to save his life must lose his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. Well, here's the biggest paradox of all, and this is the one that we need to come to grips with. Paradox is about suffering. And it goes like this. God is almighty, God is all-powerful. And so we expect almighty, all-powerful God to put a decisive end to all the evil in the world. Decisive victory, just clean it all up. And he does. But he doesn't do it in a way that we would expect. He wins a decisive, definitive victory over evil where? On the cross. The very place which, by human terms, looks like a complete and total utter defeat. Decisive victory, and he asks us to join him up there. We're never going to do that unless we get to the heart of this paradox. Apostles needed to get to the heart of this paradox today, didn't they? Lord, when you come into your almighty kingdom, put us at your right and your left. We want to be your vice regents. And they're thinking of Jesus as being like a this-worldly Messiah. A lot of us think of that God ought to be a this-worldly Messiah too, right? Win all of our political victories for us. He doesn't do that. Just as a side note, just as a point of interest, where's the only place in the Bible in which anybody's ever mentioned it being at Jesus' right and his left? Where's that? Calvary. And they crucified him between two thieves, one on his right and the other on his left. Be careful what you ask for. God wins a definitive victory by suffering because God is pure love. And when love meets with evil, love suffers. But it doesn't suffer alone. And here's the way through it. Notice, Jesus doesn't say, can you drink the cup of bitter suffering? No, he says, can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink? Not, can you suffer to the bitter end? Can you drink this bitter chalice to the dregs? Are you ready to go suffer and bleed and die on a cross? No. What does Jesus say? Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And that's the way through suffering, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only way through this paradox. We need to come to realize that you can get through anything if you just remember that God is with you. That's what believers do. Don't think like an unbeliever. Unbelievers always thinking, what's going to happen to me? Constantly afraid. Don't think like that. Think rather, whatever happens, it's going to be okay. Because Jesus himself is with us. So, you know, the readings from Mass, they take a definitive turn. Let's turn with them. Let's turn with them and practice the presence of God, remembering that Jesus is with you. And if you're with him, it's always enough.